Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I am the host of this program, Ann Baldwin, and you know, it's come to my attention that a lot of you folks that listen to the show in the morning are on your way to church. So I just want to say that is so heartwarming to hear that people enjoy listening to the show on the way to church, especially Jeannie and Don. I know you're out there listening on this Sunday morning and so many others, and we do appreciate it. And back by popular demand, I'm excited to talk with Frank LaBanca, because Frank is the director of the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair, which just wrapped up, but he's also a principal at Westside Middle School Academy in Danbury. So, Frank, welcome back. We've got some exciting updates to talk about.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be with you again today. Yeah, it's been an exciting month. The month of March was Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair month, where almost 600 students had a chance to showcase 300 projects of work. And just amazing things from our kids. You know, people think of science fairs. I think the Hollywood types think, you know, exploding volcanoes, growing plants under different color lights. That's not what Connecticut students do. They do incredible, incredible work. And they do stuff that is shocking in a lot of ways because it's so advanced, so complex, and so meaningful, too.
It really is. And, you know, as I looked over the materials and so many of the submissions that, you know, who I feel sad for and sorry for is the judges that had to go through all this, and not because they went through it, but because they had to make a decision on winners. So, again, had, you know, that's got to be a tough job. But, again, this was virtual because we're just right now, you know, on the, hopefully, on the back end of all this COVID stuff. But what were some of the big winners? You know, we've just had the Grammys. We just had the Academy Awards. So when it comes to the awards for the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair, what were some of the big things to come out of this?
You know, I think we're more exciting than the Grammys or the Oscars.
Well, not this year. Not this year, Frank. You can't beat that.
And maybe our students held themselves up to a higher level.
Let's hope so, because you know what? I'm so sick of seeing it, and I'm so sick of talking about it.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was not a good example for kids, but these kids are different. And what's really cool is they really came from across the state. I mean, every school, every city, every town pretty much was represented. But I'm sure that some big superstars have emerged from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Our top winners at the high school level received the H. Joseph Gerber Medal of Excellence, and that's sponsored by the Connecticut Academy of Science and Engineering. And we give three of those out each year to our top projects in life sciences, our top project in physical science, and our top urban school challenge student. All women this year, by the way.
Woo-hoo!
Quite exciting. The ladies are doing amazing, amazing science and engineering research and showcasing at the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair. So we can first maybe talk about Snigdha Moharaj, who's a freshman at the Engineering and Science University Magnet School in New Haven, Connecticut. And she did a project where she was Let's look at this wild and crazy title. She wasn't making volcanoes. She was implementing non-toxic modified magnetic metal oxide nanoparticle enhanced biochar filtration for the efficient removal of emerging contaminants in aqueous solutions. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
You know, this young lady was figuring out how to use biochar, which is basically waste products from natural processes like coconuts and other materials. They produce this char material, charcoal-like material, which acts as a filter. And what she was doing is she was enhancing those biochar products with nanoparticles. Everyone's talking about nanotechnology these days, mm-hmm. and the power it has to change the world. And she was figuring out how she could use these materials to efficiently clean contaminants that are in the environment, like pharmaceutical products or other heavy metals or pesticides. She was, you know, thinking in really deep ways about strategies to clean the environment using natural products enhanced with nanotechnology.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, it just blows my mind that these young people are thinking at that level, and thank goodness they are, because you know, old people like me need it. You know, our earth needs it. Our future needs it. Okay, who's next?
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Ambika Grover from Greenwich High School. And her project title in the life science category was design of a novel dual-functioning tissue plasminogen activator and anticoagulant therapeutic for rapid ischemic stroke treatment. And as we all know, when people go through strokes, there's a limited amount of time where you can and get some treatment in it, and some of that treatment can have a very significant impact in helping the patient recover very well. And so she also, working with nanoparticles, was looking at developing a therapeutic approach to the treatment of stroke to help dissolve the blood clots. And while she did not test her methodology on human subjects, she had an in vitro, as we like to call it, non-living system to test the effect of her strategy on blood clots to help people with potential stroke events.
That's amazing. So where do these kids go from here? What happens with, you know, all of this innovation and all of this, you know, science? How can it be applied, and is it applied?
Yeah. So, you know, we often say the Connecticut Science Fair, it's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's because we're just the beginning. Students go so many places. And while many of the students choose to follow careers in science and engineering, some pursue other avenues of life, a lot of these students take these projects and continue working on them in that direction. Also, some of the students develop such stuff that it's actually patentable. And we have students that work with patent attorneys in some cases to see if they can patent some of their work. They work with companies and universities to advance their work. Sometimes their work is a subset of other work that's going on. And so we've had students that have been published in academic and scholarly journals for their work. Many students have gone on to pursue careers in science and engineering. A notable alum from many years ago is actually from a Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair participant, was a MacArthur Genius Award winner, so national recognition. And then really on a smaller scale, our top students actually pursue, including the two, and in addition on a smaller scale, the two young ladies I just spoke about will actually be attending the next level of science and engineering fairs, and that's the International Science and Engineering Fair, which takes place in Atlanta, Georgia in May. So they'll have a chance to go even further with their research and showcase it on an international stage level.
How fantastic. That's great. And you must see it, especially, you know, being the director of the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair. You must see the hard work, the dedication, all that goes into this, because even though this was virtual this year, students still came into like a Zoom meeting, and then you put them into their virtual conference room and they presented their projects. Were you just blown away, or are you blown away every year by what you see?
I am. You know, it makes me think you know, the world is going to be okay when you see what these kids are doing. And I think, you know, that's the reward, I think, that we who organize and volunteer at the event feel, and also our judges feel that way, too. They are really they are getting to see Connecticut's best and brightest at their finest. And interestingly, you know, you talked about our event having been virtual this year, which it was, but even though it was virtual, it still included this live component for them. A lot of the kids kind of went virtual with their projects as well. They did data analysis projects and projects around computational sciences. So they pursued projects that used artificial intelligence.
And there's so much to think about, and the future is just, it's not that far away. And you talked about your volunteers. You had so many people volunteer to help, you know, put this thing together and to help judge the projects. But, of course, you couldn't do it without your sponsors either, because, you know, it really takes a lot to bring an event like this together, to do the outreach to these students, and more importantly, to reward them for their good work. So you had folks, and big folks like Jackson Labs, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, Energizer, Alexion, Stanley Black & Decker, Boehringer. All those folks believe in what you're doing and believe in the future of these kids. And I'm assuming without them, you probably couldn't do this.
No, as many people know, the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair is an all-volunteer organization. So myself and everyone included, we all volunteer our time to do this work for the pursuit of excellence for Connecticut youth. And so our sponsors are really critical to that process. So we are so thankful for not only their financial support, but also for their human capital support, because our sponsors also provide many of the judges, the engineers and scientists that work at Jackson Labs, or are members of the Connecticut Academy of Science and Engineering, or who are building helicopters at Sikorsky in Lockheed Martin. They come out, and they are the ones who evaluate these student projects. I think what was really cool this year, the virtual thing does have a perk. We had representatives from across the country.
Wow.
So we had Jackson Lab scientists that live in California judging our event, and we had people in South Carolina participating, and in Florida. So adults from all over the country participated and helped evaluate these amazing student projects.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because it's not like, you know, a chili contest, right, where you go to the fairgrounds and you taste everybody's chili and you can pick a winner. It takes a certain, you know, caliber of individual to be a judge for these things. I mean, I cannot even imagine what it takes on your end to find the right people to really know even what these young people are talking about.
Exactly. And I think I have to hand it to all the volunteers who act as judging chairs for the organization, who help find those judges, find those expertise, and then all the dedicated people who spend the time, and these are hours and hours upon end. They don't just watch the students judge. They get together afterwards and they caucus, they discuss the projects, they figure out what's going on, which are the top performers. The expertise comes out, because, you know, the ones I've described already are very, very sophisticated, and the judges have to be able to discern whether or not a criteria bar is met for the innovation that we're trying to seek out to identify.
That's right, and the bar is high. We're speaking with Frank LeBlanco, who is the director of the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair. I want to call out one of the students. Maybe it's because he's from my hometown, but Justin Hull. And I thought his project was also very interesting. He's one of the top category winners. His project was titled "The Effect of Altering the Material Composition in Ultra-High-Performance Concrete with Regional Materials on Comprehensive Strength." And, you know, I immediately went back to my news days and the crumbling foundation problem that, you know, continues in Connecticut. And I'm guessing that this might even be in response to that, to find, you know, better materials for foundations for buildings and homes, so that, you know, we don't have the issues that some people are having right now.
No, exactly. And I think what Justin's project showcases is that projects are done in context. He did a project because it really matters. And this is, like you said, this is a Connecticut issue. And actually, one of our sponsors, the Connecticut Academy of Science and Engineering, has had a group working on this, you know, regional experts in Connecticut, to try to help the state figure out how to deal with this massive, massive problem of bad concrete that is in so many foundations across the state. And then at the same time, the student is trying to develop solutions that might not only remedy this problem, which he might have identified, but also might provide ideas for the future to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of materials and material science that are necessary for us in this global world.
Right. It's kind of like a Shark Tank for kids, right?
I mean, and it's so true because, you know, we're talking about very high quality science and engineering projects. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how quality that project is if you can't communicate it effectively to other people. And so, you know, one of the things that people may not recognize is that students who do this work have to be superior communicators. Mm-hmm. And that skill transcends just doing science and engineering. That's one of those skills that everyone who's going to be in a leadership role, or really in any role whatsoever, has to be effective. You know, you have to be an effective communicator, and these students show that skill so well.
That is amazing, and it's so beyond so many of us, so much of our comprehension, these projects. Then how do you kind of, you know, like you're explaining what you've done over your backyard fence to your neighbor who knows nothing about it. That's what I always tell people when I teach my mm-hmm. presentation skills, you know, keep it simple, keep it understandable, make it interesting, make it have impact. And you're so right. So you're not only, you know, talking about those are the skill sets that you need to do this project. Those presentation skills are so huge. I want to point to another one here out of Wilton. And this one is a middle school 7th and 8th grade physical sciences team, Leonardo Kulon and Samaka Dash. They created a school bus approach alert system. Here you go again, Frank, talking about solving real world problems.
And I think what's exciting about that, again, using artificial intelligence and machine learning techniques to help solve problems that really exist. You know, when we work with younger kids, sometimes maybe younger than Connecticut Science and Engineering Career Age, and I often say to them, what bugs you? What bugs you? And because if it's bugging you, it's probably bugging somebody else too. And it's a great way to start exploring that creative process of identifying something that really could have relevance and meaning for you and also society, problems that really need to be solved.
And they can be sometimes so simple. I think that every time I see something, you know, as seen on TV, and they're illustrating just such a simple solution to something. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? So when you're telling your students what bugs you, that's exactly the mindset that it takes to get it to the next level. I think that's great. And we should think more in that direction, because who knows what we could all come up with if our problems, like you said, are probably everybody else's problems. So how do we fix it? Was there any big aha moment that came out of this for you this year?
You know, for me, I spent a lot of time thinking about how to make the process effective for students. And I think my aha this year was how many adults really are dedicated to helping Connecticut youth advance STEM. And those adults are our judges, but those adults are also the mm-hmm. teachers that are working with these students. You know, this is not a traditional way to teach science education. This is an innovative approach, and really the teachers who dedicate themselves to this type of work dig deep and really work hard and advocate for their students and also coach them in a way which might be a little different than the way traditional education takes place. And so all of the people that are there creating this structure for kids who are really passionate about science and engineering, they make such a difference. And obviously, you know, we're all volunteers at the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair, and I think heading into next year, our 75th year, you know, we have a long promise of supporting and continued support of Connecticut.
You hit upon it earlier that a lot of these students that have participated throughout the course of many years have really gone on to do big things. Can you think of any cases in particular?
Let me tell you about a student who participated in the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair many, many years ago. And his name was Bob Wisner. And he actually participated in the fair in the 1950s. And Bob was interested in engineering, and he went on to work at United Technologies and had a long-spanning career at United Technologies. He had over 15 patents over the course of his career. He helped Children's Hospital develop a gate system for helping children with disabilities. He worked on high-energy lasers, some of that early Star Wars stuff. And I think more exciting is he dedicated 50 years of his life to the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair as a volunteer. So not only did he make a huge impact on science and technology through United Technologies, but he also made a huge impact on Connecticut's youth. He's since passed, but we have awards in his name now for his over 50 years of service to the organization and really close to 70 years of involvement.
Amazing. All right, so you said it before, so now what? How many kids go where, when, and what could the potential outcome of that be?
Sure. So we are sending 7 students to the International Science and Engineering Fair in Atlanta, Georgia this May. They are shooting for literally millions of dollars in prizes and scholarship opportunities, and a top prize of $75,000.
Wow.
For the top winner. Connecticut has had top winners in the past. In the early 2000s, we had a run of 4 years in a row where we took home the top prize at the International Science and Engineering Fair. So they'll be going there. We have 4 groups of students going to the Genius Olympiad, another international competition taking place in Oswego, New York. Going to the Genius Olympiad, and that takes place at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Our top middle school students are invited to compete in the Broadcom Masters, a national competition for science research. Top prize, scholarship of $25,000. There are so many opportunities that our students will continue to pursue in their work. Not to mention the kids that come back year after year after year. We recognize a number of students this past year who've had multiple years, 4, 5, 6 years participating in the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair.
Well, you know what? Thank you for what you do. Thank you to you and your volunteers at the Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair to foster the abilities and the passion that these young people have, because without that, it would be nothing, right? So I'm sure for these kids, it's more exciting than the Final Four. It's amazing. And we want to mention again, Jackson Labs, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, Energizer, Alexion, Stanley Black & Decker, Boehringer, all of you folks out there, the corporate sponsors that make these things a reality, because it does, time is money. It does take time and money, and to reward these little geniuses in a way that they should be rewarded. A lot of hard work and dedication goes into this, and your track record is just amazing, and you've got to keep us posted. So once we get, done with these finals, you got to let us know if anybody from Connecticut makes the top cut, all right?
All right, that sounds good.
All right, and what do we have look forward to for next year?
Next year, Connecticut Science and Engineering Fair, our 75th Diamond
Ooh.
Year. Always looking for support. Participate with us. We want you to be a part of our organization, whether you can donate one day or multiple days. We're doing something great for kids who work really, really hard, and they're from all over the state, and we showcase their work. Help us be a part of it.
And how can people reach you, Frank? What's the best way to do so if someone out there on their way to church, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, says, you know what, I'm retired. I've got this kind of passion and expertise. I would like to help mentor or support this organization. What's the best way for them to find you?
The best way to find us is online. Visit us at ctsciencefair.org, ctsciencefair.org, and connect with us. We'll be more than happy to accept your donations, volunteerism, whatever you have to offer.
That's great. And I know that you put, personally, Frank, a lot of time. Here you are, the principal of Westside Middle School Academy in Danbury, which is in itself more than a full-time job. And also you're giving back to this organization. Personally, why do you do it?
Now, I think I've learned in my life that, you know, it's almost a selfish thing to say. When you volunteer, you get the reward, too. So you're giving something to others, and what you get back in return is just as wonderful. Volunteering is such a positive experience. And so whether or not you volunteer for the Connecticut Science Fair or some other organization, volunteering is such an important part of making the world a better place.
It really is. So well said, Frank. And if you have never done it, you really should try it, because you're right. Sometimes you shake your head and go, why am I doing this for nothing? But you know why you're doing it in the end, for the satisfaction, for the look on these folks' face, that you know that you're giving back. And without you and the volunteers and the sponsors, that this wouldn't be happening. That's why we all do it, right?
Yes.
Well, Frank Labanca, thank you again. We'll look forward to hearing back and see if we have any big winners again this year in the national competitions. And, of course, we'll look forward to next year's event as well. So thanks for being here. This was great.
Thanks, Ann, and thank you for showcasing the wonderful work of Connecticut's youth.
Absolutely. And, of course, we want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.